in this difficult time for us, instead of meeting together as a whole church on Sunday morning, what we will be doing is to give three kind of shorter messages on how to respond to what's going on right now. So these messages will be on the website, and there will be questions with them if you want to look over them, or on your own, or as a family, or in your small groups. So there is a number of ways as Christians that we're meant to understand our present time. God is doing a number of things, not just one thing. So over the next few weeks, I want us to look at just three things. They may not be the things that you would instantly want to look at, but these are the ones that have captured me and how to respond as Christians to this particular challenge. So this week we'll be looking at God's discipline. Next week we'll be looking at God's grace. And the third week we'll be looking at God's sovereignty. Now, one way or another, all of our lives have been disrupted or modified. There are all kinds of responses to these new rules and regulations and guidelines and encouragements. As you can probably see from the news, some have been flaunting and even defying them. Some have been so fearful of what's going on that's basically closed them down completely. How are you responding? Are you fearful? Are you agitated or anxious? Do you find yourself being upset or worried about things? Maybe you're a little angry at what's going on. Things being taken out of your control. Maybe you're looking for someone to blame. Maybe you're angry at God. Angry at your government. So instead of asking all the usual types of questions, like, is this a punishment on the world? How could a loving God do this? Is God not love, as the scripture says? Is he not sovereign, as the scriptures say? Well, we'll get to those at some point over the next couple of messages. But today, I want for us as a church to seek his face and ask, God, what is it that you want us to learn in times of disruption, in times of hardship, in times of suffering, and even times of death? What are you teaching us, God? Colleen and I were reminded yesterday morning, and I think it's good for all of us to be reminded again, that you've got to put all of these questions, all of our circumstances, we've got to put them into the context of the gospel itself. And what does the gospel tell us first? Well, obviously, for Christians, our acceptance with God is now and always rooted in his grace, his kindness. It's our only hope in every circumstance. Well, how is that? Again, it's good to be reminded about what the sacrifice of Christ actually did. What is that? Well, we know, firstly, in the light of his grace, the opposite is, of course, what sin does, and the penalty of sin, the scripture says, is separation from God, punishment and death, and an eternal hell. Sin is utterly and eternally serious. So scripture shows us that this holy fury of the Father's anger because of his holiness in the light of sin was all turned away because sin was completely dealt with through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He is our atonement. He is our reconciliation. So in wonder and in praise, all in Christ shall never have to face that penalty for our sin. And the fear of God's anger is no longer on the horizon for us. Let me quote you Paul Tripp. This is what he says. On your very worst, most rebellious, and most faithless day, you can run into the holy presence of your Heavenly Father, and He will not turn you away. Why? Because your acceptance has not been, nor will it ever be, based on your performance. You've not been welcomed into an eternal relationship with God because you've kept the law, because Jesus did. If you obey God for 1,000 years, you will not have earned more of His acceptance than you were granted the very first moment you believed. Here's how radical the gospel of grace really is. You do not have to be something before God because Jesus accomplished everything in your behalf. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? No prize for the one who first called it the gospel, the good news, which of course was God Himself. He called it the good news, and we get the prize. So I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. You're accepted and loved. You're declared righteous in Christ. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, according to Ephesians chapter 1. But what about our circumstance right now? How is that meaningful in my present experience? In our what we are all facing together? Well, let me first say, we do know from Romans 1:18 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. Do you see the tenses there? It is the wrath of God is not just will be, but is revealed. And we may be well facing the early birth pangs of God's judgment on the world. But you might be saying, I thought that we weren't supposed to face any wrath. Well, for us as Christians, that's true. Christians don't face wrath for sin because Jesus faced the wrath of our sin. He faced that for us. And you and I are God's children. And His love for us is intimate and it's costly. And as a most wonderful Heavenly Father, what we experience right now is His loving discipline, His teaching of us. Or if you prefer, He disciples us. He's correcting. He's transforming. He's crafting and molding. He's pruning, causing us to grow. All of this to produce in us the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as James calls it, the image of Christ. But the scriptures call that blessing, not rejection. His discipline is not punishment. And we're to receive the truth that our punishment has already been borne by our Savior on the cross. And now, in that grace, all fatherly discipline for the Christian is transformative. It's not punitive. God has, in His love and His goodness, in His fatherly concern, designed every difficulty, even suffering, to be actually life-changing, heart-transforming. Listen to Eliphaz in the book of Job in chapter 5, even though he isn't always quoted as, and will in the end be one of those comforters not approved, but he does say this truthfully. He says, behold, now listen, verse 17, chapter 5, how blessed is the one whom God reproves, how blessed. So, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, for He inflicts pain and he gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. From six troubles he'll deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you, or disaster will not touch you. In Hebrews 12, the author tells us to look to Jesus, who is not just the author of our faith, but he is also the one perfecting it right now also. In verse 2 of chapter 12, he tells us in the light of that not to grow weary, not to grow faint-hearted when we're going through trials and suffering. He does all of this for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all this discipline, all it seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields this peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been, listen, trained by it. Hebrews 12, 7 to 11. So, God's molding of us, it's all an instrument of his grace. What is he trying to teach you through this time of difficulty? You know, God uses all tragedy and hardship and suffering and even death to call us all to himself and to teach us to comfort and to care for one another. He also is refining us so that we are heaven-focused and other-focused, to die to being selfish. He calls us to be selfless. And so his discipline for our church is to teach us, of course, how to love one another. What is he trying to teach you through this time of difficulty? God's grace in these times for us is meant to be received as sanctifying. He's setting us apart. He's treating us like children, and he wants to transform us into the image of Jesus. So what can we learn now as a church? What can we learn in our groups? What can we learn in our homes as husbands and wives and mothers and fathers? Or as single people, what is he teaching us? How is he sanctifying us? How is he transforming us? All that God is doing, his disciplining us as a good father, is not him turning his angry back on us. It's God turning his face of grace towards us once again. And he'll continue to do that until his grace has finished its work. Let me finish with this encouragement from Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body. It'll be refreshment to your bones. And that sounds an awful lot like grace to me.